This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Okay, so they lost. They're out of the playoffs, and the season is done. Now, in our editorial meeting this morning, we seriously considered not talking about it on today's show because we thought, what more is there to say? And it's so painful for so many people.
But then we thought, okay, so this is a news show. And as journalists, how can we avoid talking about what happened last night? It was news. The worst regular season collapse in baseball history.
Andino to left field. In comes Crawford. Can't make the catch. He pops up. The throw to the plate is going to be off the mark. And the Orioles walk off with the win. The Red Sox lose in a crucial 162nd game of the year.
Well, maybe Red Sox fans shouldn't be so surprised. After a decade that brought them two World Series championships, perhaps it was inevitable that sooner or later the Sox would eventually find their way back to the same kind of play that deprived them of a championship for 86 years.
But we want to put this story to bed and move on to other news and other issues. And Chad Finn is going to help us do that. He's a sports writer for Boston.com, and he titled his excellent piece today, Red Sox Did This to Themselves. And Chad Finn, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Anthony. Glad to be here.
So you started your piece with an idea that helped me last night as I watched the Sox melt down in the bottom of the ninth. I stopped following the game as a fan and started appreciating it as a story. And it was extraordinary in so many ways as a story, wasn't it?
It really was. I think one thing you look for as a Red Sox fan in the morning after something like that happens is catharsis, because you're really not going to find a clear explanation of what happened when there were so many factors involved and so many things that went wrong for them this September. So I think the real useful thing that the media provides and that a column like mine provides this morning is just a chance for people to kind of talk it out and kind of wrap their heads around the whole big story that happened.
Well, yeah, it was amazing the way the game ended. The Red Sox lost, and within minutes, Tampa Bay had won. It was just like lightning struck up and down the East Coast. It was quite something.
It was, and there was a juxtaposition a couple of times last night. There was one point in the Red Sox-Orioles game where Dustin Pedroia hit a home run to put the Red Sox ahead. And at virtually the same time in the Yankees-Rays game, which everybody was kind of keeping an eye on, Mark Teixeira hit a grand slam to kind of you thought it was going to put that game out of reach. So you had that first example of the things kind of overlapping, and then later in the game, the Red Sox losing it almost the same instance where the Rays came back to win. It was just an amazing couple of, I guess, quirks of night in baseball that people aren't going to soon forget.
Yeah, it was really something. Now, last night's game seemed like such a microcosm of the whole season for the Red Sox. They showed flashes of talent and brilliance. They showed that they could be good, but in the end, at the very end, they weren't. You know what I mean? Which is sort of the whole story of September.
It really is. I mean, the September is their greatest enemy couldn't have drawn up what happened to them. They ended up 7-20. This is a team that began the season 2-10 and really bookended its season with some horrible play. But in the middle, they were arguably the best team in baseball. They really seemed like they were going to be the American League representative in the World Series, that they were the best team in the league. And it just, the wheels came off, and it was so many different things. It was starting pitching more than anything else, letting them down. But they have the high-priced left fielder, Carl Crawford, who they brought in from, ironically, Tampa Bay is a free agent who just made one mistake after another down the stretch here this week. And just all these things stacked on top of each other that a lot of them were familiar because it happened previously in September. And in the end, it just the weight of it all just finished them off with two outs in the ninth inning of the final game of the season.
Now, you mentioned Carl Crawford. And earlier this week, we talked about how this version of the Red Sox represented a move away from the sort of formula for success that brought them victory in 2004. And that is, you know, a team of sort of ragtag personalities. This team, in contrast, seemed to follow almost a Yankees formula, where they paid huge salaries based on past success to people like Carl Crawford and John Lackey, who did very little for them. Do you buy that? And do they need to get back to sort of a previous version of themselves?
I think to a degree they're certainly very businesslike, and ultimately the result determines whether or not that approach to building a team and to fielding a team for 162 games and beyond a season is the right one. when the Red Sox had what the nickname they coined for themselves in 2003-2004 was the Idiots, because they were free-spirited. I always thought they were the exact kind of team that was going to have to overcome all the things that plagued the Red Sox for 86 years, a team that just didn't care about the burden and the history. And Theo Epstein, the Red Sox general manager, never really liked that. He wanted a more businesslike team. He wanted a team that carried itself a little bit more professionally. And I tend to think that if they had a little bit more of that camaraderie in the locker room, or the us against the world mentality, maybe they would have pulled themselves out of this. But, you know, on the other hand, I don't think anything was going to help them overcome the terrible pitching that they had this month.
Mm. Now, Chad, there have been other huge disappointments that we've referenced over the years. 1978, they faded toward the end of the season, lost that one-game playoff to the Yankees. 1986, of course, in the World Series, one strike away from victory, baseball through Bill Buckner's legs, on and on. But somehow this seems even worse than any of those collapses.
It certainly was more prolonged. I mean, you don't see something like this happen over the course of a month. On September 1st, the Red Sox were in first place in the division. They were nine games ahead of the Rays. But, you know, for me, it's not as big as the other stuff. I think for a couple of reasons. I don't think they were going to win a championship this year. They just, as September proved time and again, they didn't have the pitching. And the other factor is they lost out to the Rays. An upstart, pretty likable team if you can put aside your rooting interests and your a fan's lifelong love for the Red Sox. And just look at the Rays for what they are. They're a pretty admirable team. This wasn't the Yankees beating them with the last swing of the bat at Yankee Stadium. This was a season that ended historically badly, but, you know, it could have been worse. It could have been them getting the World Series and having some crushing event happen there, and that at least that didn't take place. I guess that's the small solace that people have today.
All right. Well, we'll end this story with that bit of small solace from Chad Finn. Chad Finn, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony. Anytime.
That's Chad Finn. He's a sports writer and media columnist for the Boston Globe.